I look over to her at staff meeting and go, do you want to do communion? And I just hope she says yes, because she does such a great job every time she does it. So thank you. Awesome. Who can guess what I'm about to preach on? Hey, guys are listening. I like it. So yeah, Ephesians chapter 3, if you haven't heard 1 and 2, the messages of 1 and 2, I encourage you to go to YouTube, go to Merge Church YouTube channel. It's on there. You can watch Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. And it'll give you a nice little dive into the chapters. And I've just been loving, really enjoying looking at the Word myself, going through it, combing through it with a fine-tooth comb, seeing what God wants me to share on, and it's just been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you guys have picked up your own Bibles and opened them up as well during the week and reading Ephesians for yourself, because I don't want you to just take a hold of what I see in Ephesians. I want you to take a hold of what God has for you to see in Ephesians. That's why we're doing this this whole letter together, is so that you can form your opinion can be formed by God, by His Word, not by me or someone else or some human opinion, but that you, your faith, your journey with Jesus is formed by the Word of God and not by someone else's faith. So that's one of the reasons. And the second reason that we're doing the whole book together is so that you fall in love with reading the Bible yourself. Every time we open up this book, you will be encouraged to open it up for yourself, and you dive into whatever book you want to. There's 66 of them in here, and they all tell you about yourself, and they all tell you about who God is. So open it up, fall in love with His love letter to humanity. And so that's what we're doing together, and that's what my prayer is, that you will fall in love with the Scripture, and you will have your faith formed not on human opinion, but on what God says in His Word. So Ephesians has been fun. I've been learning a lot. Ephesians is a church based in Ephesus, which is now in modern day Turkey. It was the third largest Roman city in the Roman Empire. And Paul went there on his missionary journey, or one of his missionary journeys, and he established a church there. And that church grew rapidly. If that church were to be in Brisbane today with the population that Brisbane has, that church will be over 85,000 people attending that church regularly on a Sunday. So it is a very influential church in the city. It's a very prominent church. It's a lively church. It's full of faith. It's full of joy. It's full of hope. And it was based upon miracles. It was based upon compelling preaching. And it was based upon a biblical truth. So that's the kind of church it was. So it's a lot like our church, a church that's based upon biblical truth. It's based upon preaching the Word of God. And it's based upon God moving. We so desperately want to see God move in our lives and in the people's lives around us. And that's the kind of church that it was. And this is the kind of church that we are. So we can learn a lot from the book of Ephesians. We can learn a lot from what Paul was saying to the church there, and we can apply a lot of it into our own lives. But before we jump into chapter 3, let me give you a quick summary of chapters 1 and 2. So this is my summary of chapter 1. It says, even before He made the world, God loved us, God chose us, God purchased our freedom and gave us an inheritance. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and we receive all of this when we believe. This is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit being given to us, identifying us as His own people. At the right time, God's plan is to bring everything under the authority of Jesus, and we as the church will be the beneficiaries of this plan. And so our prayer for ourselves and each other must be for spiritual wisdom, for understanding the confident hope He has given us, and understanding the incredible greatness of God's power that is available to us who believe in Him. That's chapter 1 in a paragraph. That's my summary of chapter 1. And now I encourage you to read chapter 1 for yourself and see what jumps out to you. Those are the things that were highlighted to me. But see what jumps out to you when you read chapter 1. Now, chapter 2 summary. Once we were dead because of our disobedience and our many sins, stuck in the state of spiritual death because of our sinful nature. But by God's grace, we have been given life and unity with Jesus. We are no longer outsiders looking in. We have been given access to God's promises, once reserved only for the Jews. Now all can come to the Father. All are united as one people group, no longer Jews or Gentiles. We are all united through the same Holy Spirit. And it's God's Spirit who chooses to live within us as His plan is for us to be His dwelling place. That's chapter 2 summary. Once again, read chapter 2. See what jumps out to you. See what God wants to highlight to you in chapter 2. But that is what jumped out to me. That's what God highlighted to me. And that's what I was able to share a few weeks ago when I spoke on chapter 2 with you all, which was just a lot of fun. So, chapter 3, we're going to go into chapter 3. I encourage you to open up your Bible. We're going to read the whole chapter together this morning. Like I said before, I'm an NLT kind of person. It makes sense to me when I read it. I struggle sometimes with the ESV. I know Pastor Jason likes the ESV, and that's great for him. It's good that English was his first language. But I read the NLT because it just... It's smoother to me. It makes more sense to me. The words are in line for me. But if you read the ESV, that's more of a literal translation, which is fantastic. It's good for studying as well. And then there's a few different other translations as well that are fantastic. I also like the Message translation. Personally, I think it highlights some different aspects of what is being said. But we're going to go through the NLT together. So if you have an NLT Bible, you can open up. If you have the Bible app on your phone, open that up. Change the setting to NLT because I want us to read it together. And I don't want you to look at the words and go, "That is not. He is not preaching the Bible. He's not reading out of the Bible. I don't know what he's reading. It's just different translations." So let me know when you're ready for that. So before I do read it, I want to remind us that Ephesians is the first three chapters of Ephesians is highlighting God's plan for us. It's highlighting God's plan. And so chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 are parts of God's plan that we get to dive into, that we get to look at. So today is part 3 of God's plan that we're going to be reading together. Before we jump into that, let's quickly pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we can gather around your word, Lord. I thank you we can open it up freely here in Australia and we can let it read us, God. And I pray that we will all walk away differently because we've encountered you in the mighty name of Jesus. Mold us, shape us, make us the people you designed us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 All right, who's ready? Chapter 3. Come on, awesome. All right. Chapter 3, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose is in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my many trials. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from this glorious, unlimited resource, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might think or ask. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's a good chapter. I really love chapter 3. I've actually pulled a fair few things from chapter 3 before and preached them before. I really like Ephesians, and I really like chapter 3. And so we're going to look at 5 different things in chapter 3 that God has been highlighting to me together, just like we looked at 5 different things in chapters 1 and chapter 2. So chapter 3, this is, that's the first one, say it with me, this is, say it again,
this is,
and this is God's plan. Paul has been using the past few chapters to spell out God's plan, like I said. And here he starts off chapter 3, and he chooses to really spell it out once again, to really make it clear to us, in case the readers missed it. Chapter 3, verse 6, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's plan. Everyone who believes the good news. Paul tells us in chapter 1 what the good news is. The good news that God saves you. That's the good news. That's what Paul is telling us. If you believe in the good news, if you believe that God saves you, you inherit what the children of God inherit. You become a child of God. Everyone who believes in the good news that God saves you shares equally in the riches inherited by God's children. God's plan is for all of us who believe to become part of one body, a people group created from all types of people, all walks of life. No matter what tribe, no matter what tongue, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, if you believe that God saves, if you believe in the good news, you become one body. You become one body with all other believers. All are now part of this one body. This one people group inherit the same thing. All of us enjoy the promise of blessing because we all belong to Jesus. This is God's plan. He has made a way for everyone to be part of his family, to be one of those who are blessed by him, to be one of those who receive all that he has for his children. That's his plan. And Paul's making it really clear to us again here at the start of chapter 3. It's over and over and over again as you read chapter 1, 2, and 3. Paul's highlighting this to us. This is God's plan. You belong to one body now. You belong to God now. You are unified together now. That is what Paul is continuously highlighting to us. That is God's plan, that we all come together as one body under Jesus. And all that we need to do to be part of this body is to believe the good news that God saves you. And he has done this through the finished work of Jesus Christ. When you believe this, you become part of the body. You become part of the church. Say that, the church. Say it again. One more time. The church. Chapter 3, 10 to 11. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church, was to use us. He wanted to display his wisdom to the unseen rulers and authorities by bringing us together, by unifying us, by taking people from all different tribes and tongues, seemingly looking like there's always going to be a divide because I don't speak your language, I'm not the same skin color as you, I don't believe in the same things as you. No, God has abolished all of those things. He's put them all aside, all the differences that you and I have. Although we keep our differences, we don't all become the same skin color when we believe. We don't all start talking the same language per se when we believe, but we are unified together. And God shows his great wisdom in that. He shows his great wisdom in what it looks like to bring things together. Even though there's so many great differences, God is still able to bring unity. God is still able to bring us together under one name for one reason, and that's to glorify Jesus. That's to honor Jesus. We have been brought together, the body of Christ, the body that is made up of all types of people, have been unified under the name of Jesus. God wants to use us, his church, to display his wisdom. It's us that display God's wisdom. It's his church that displays God's wisdom. It's our lives, it's our unity, it's our willingness to be united to him that shows the unseen rulers and authorities that God wins, that God rules, that God reigns, that there's nothing that can be done that separates us, not just from each other, but from God. That's what the church is. It's one body. We call ourselves a merged church, Redcliffe, but there's churches all around that gather together under the one name, which is Jesus Christ, and we are now united with them as well. We are now formed together as one body, as one family, as children of God because of what Jesus did. We become the church when we believe. And he tells the devil, he tells the ruler of the unseen world, the one that has authority over this world, he tells them that he wins, that there's nothing he can do now that separates us from God. From the very outset, the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places have been trying to undermine all that God has created. Starting with Adam and Eve, the devil has tried to drive a wedge between humanity and God, trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has loved and that God has designed. The devil's mission has been to keep us, God's masterpiece, from being united with God, because keeping us away from God causes God's creation to falter. But God had a plan. And because of this plan that he executed by sending Jesus, his only son, to redeem humanity, God has now been able to unify humanity back to him, making one new people group, the body, children of God, the church. And all we had to do to become part of this body is simply believe in the good news that God saves you. It's through us, his church, that his wisdom is being displayed. But for God's wisdom to be displayed through us, it will take inner strength. Say that with me, inner strength. Say it again. Say it like you believe it. Inner strength. Inner strength. Chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Again, we see Paul in the posture of prayer. Again, we see Paul fall to his knees. Again, we see Paul driven to prayer. And it's not because of a certain situation. It's not because of a trial that he's going through or suffering or pain or a certain health diagnosis. It's not because of that, even though all those things are really good reasons to be driven to prayer. But that's not why he's praying. That's not why he's moved to pray. When Paul thinks of God's plan that all who believe in the good news that through Jesus, God saves all who believe in him. And that from the beginning, God has planned that he will reveal this plan through the church, using the church to example his incredible plan. When he thinks of all of this, he prays. Verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Paul prays that from God's unlimited resources, he will empower us with an inner strength that only comes through God, through God's own Spirit. Why does Paul think it necessary to pray for an inner strength? Why does Paul think it's so necessary to pray for us, the church, that we need an inner strength? Why is Paul falling to his knees when he thinks of the plan that God has and how God wants to display his wisdom through the church? Paul falls to his knees in prayer to ask for inner strength. Why do we need this inner strength? Why is Paul so determined to pray for this inner strength? God's plan is for all of us to be united as one body, together outworking the same mission, to show the unseen rulers and authorities the wisdom of God. And although unity comes naturally to God, it does not come naturally to you and I. Paul let us know in chapter 2 that it's not in our nature to be like God. In fact, it's our nature to be the opposite of God. It's our nature to push away from God. It's our nature to walk away from the things of God. That's what our nature is naturally like. So Paul falls to his knees because he knows in our nature, we won't be able to do what God has planned for us to do. In our nature, we won't be able to be the church that God has planned us to be. In our nature, we will naturally push away from what God has planned. In our nature, if we stayed in our nature, we won't be able to do what God planned for us to do. So Paul prays. So Paul falls to his knees and he asks that we are filled with this inner strength that only comes through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. It's not our natural state to be unified to God. And the devil knows it, because the devil will try to pull us away from God. The devil is out there seeking who he can devour. The devil is out there trying to find out if there's anyone that's vulnerable that he can steal from, that he can kill, that he can destroy. That is what he's trying to do. He's constantly looking out to see what he can destroy. He's constantly roaming around like a roaring lion, seeing what he can devour. And if we are in our natural state, we are subject to that. We are subject to being pulled apart. We are subject to being devoured. We are subject to being stolen from, killed, or destroyed. The strength then that we all need to be part of God's plan comes only through God himself. Only he can give us the strength we need to fulfill his plan, to stay in unity with God and in unity with each other. It cannot be accomplished without an inner strength that comes through his Spirit. Listen to those words, through his Spirit. The inner strength that we all need to be part of God's plan comes through his Spirit, through the Spirit of God. We can't just gloss over these few words. We can't just skip over them. These are paramount to what it takes to be part of the body, to be part of the church. It comes through his Spirit, an inner strength that comes through his Spirit. By receiving the Spirit of God, that is how we are placed in a position to be empowered, to be strengthened, with an inner strength to be part of God's plan. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's actually allowing the Spirit of God to work through you. It's allowing the Spirit of God to come into your life and to start doing things through you. It's about the Spirit of God. Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It's a chain reaction. It's like dominoes falling. First, you believe. You believe in the good news. You believe that God saves you. And then all of a sudden, you start to trust in him. You start to have your faith based in him. And then all of a sudden, you're filled. You become part of this one body. And then you're filled with the Spirit of God that gives you an inner strength so that you can continue to be in unity with him. And then you fall in love more and more with Jesus. And then your trust goes down deeper and deeper into that love. It's a chain reaction. It's continuous. It just keeps on happening. We believe. We become one body. We are filled with the Spirit. We fall more and more in love with Jesus. And it just continues on, and we go deeper and deeper into trusting in him. It's a chain reaction. It just keeps on going. Your roots, meaning the foundation of your trust, will grow down into God's love. And that's what will keep you strong. It says there, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. It's through the Holy Spirit that we are strengthened with this inner strength. But it's love. It's the love of Christ that is the foundation. And our foundation, our roots, will continue to grow deeper and deeper into the love. The foundation of our strength is love. Say that with me. Love. 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 Say it with passion. Love. More passion.
Love.
Greater passion.
Love.
Love. It's love. Love. It's love. That all of us, that all of this is based upon. Love is the foundation. Love is the reason. Love is the goal. Love is the purpose. Love is the what and the why. Love is why God made us. Love is the reason God saved us. Love is what unites us, and love is the glue that keeps us united. As Paul says in verse 17, it's love that will keep us strong. But it's not our love. Just like it's not our strength, just like it's not our plan. It's God's plan, it's God's strength, it's God's love. It's God's love for us that keeps the inner strength that comes through him strong. Ephesians 3:18 says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Paul is urging all of us to dive deep into the love of God, to try and grasp how wide his love is, to look and see how far up his love reaches, to look ahead and see if we can see where his love ends, and we won't. We won't be able to find it. We won't be able to find the great depths of God's love. We won't be able to see how high his love goes. We won't be able to comprehend or even see an end to how far his love is, because there is no end. There's no depth that ends in God's love. It just keeps on going. It just keeps on going. It's the love of God that changes us. It's the love of God that heals us. It's the love of God that restores us. It's the love of God that makes us whole, makes us righteous, that molds us into the people we were created to be. Years ago, many years ago actually, it was one of the first summits that I was part of that we do as a church around September, October, and I was actually asked to be a driver for the guest speakers, and so I was given the privilege to be able to get to know some of the guest speakers, which was really, really special, and I was driving them around, and with driving them around came a few perks. I got a seat saved for me, which was really nice. And so, young Hendrico, who's walking to the front, sits down, and we're in this incredible time of worship at Summit. And if you have not been to Summit, I really encourage you, put some time aside this year to make it out to Summit. It's a fantastic weekend that we gather together as a family, as a merged church, and we dedicate a weekend to just really push in and press into the presence of God. And so this year we were sitting and we were worshiping and we're singing the song Good Father. Who knows the song Good, Good Father? Yeah, it's good until you listen to it 55,000 times. It was a great song though, and we were worshiping to this song, and I had my arms up, eyes closed, and I'm just worshiping God. I'm singing, "You're a good Father, Lord. You're a good Father." And all of a sudden, I feel this embrace. I feel this hug. I literally thought someone's just hugging me, and my eyes go open really quickly. I'm completely taken out of the moment of singing, "You're a good Father." And all of a sudden, I'm getting hugged, and my eyes open, and there's no one in front of me. There's no one behind me. There's no one around me. Everyone else that's around me is eyes closed, lifted up. They're pressing in too. But I feel like I'm being hugged. I feel like someone is embracing me, that someone's wrapped their arms around me. And I quickly realize I'm not actually getting hugged by someone. I'm getting hugged by God. And I close my eyes again and I just hear the words of God say, "I love you." And it broke me. It completely shattered me in that moment. Everything else just fell apart. Everything else fell away. And I'm standing in the presence of God. And He's telling me how much He loves me. I'm experiencing the love of God in that moment. And everything changed for me. Everything changed for me. Now everything is now built on that foundation. And for so many years, all I could see when I read scripture, all I could hear when I listened to worship songs, all I could think about was the love of God. Everything that was being built up in my life that was of God was based on that simple foundation that God loves me. And every lie that was ever told to me by the devil, everything that pushed against God was broken away in that moment, because the truth is that God loves me, and I experienced that love first hand. I experienced God's love. I encountered the living God who we can't see, but we can feel Him. We can touch Him. We can have a moment with Him. We can experience Him, and we can encounter Him, and His love will shift things. His love will change things. His love will remove the things that are not of Him. And His love will be a foundation to build your life upon. It's experiencing His love. It's an encounter with Him. It's an experience with His love that transforms us. It's His love that strengthens us. It's His love that causes us to keep on trusting. It's His love that causes us to keep on believing, to keep on having faith. It's His love that keeps us united with Him and one another so that we can be part of God's plan. It's His love that leads us to be made complete. Say that with me, made complete. Say it again. It's one more time. Made complete. Verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Even though on this side of eternity, we will never be able to fully understand how much God truly loves us. But on this side of eternity, we can experience His love. As a human being, you can experience the love of God. You can understand, you can start to comprehend, you can experience, you can encounter the love that God has for you. You can start the journey of finding out how deep, how wide, how far His love reaches for you. But you won't ever get to the end. You won't ever fully understand it, but you get to experience it. His love gives us life, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life that we all desire comes from God. And it's unlocked when we experience His love. Think of it like this. You've got someone in your life that you love very dearly. Whether it's your wife or your husband, whether it's a child that you have, or whether it's a best friend, or whether it's a parent, whatever it may be, you have someone in your life that you so deeply love, that with all your heart, you're like, I just love this person so much. And everything inside of you is just like, oh, I just love them. I just want them to have a great life. I just want everything good for them. I just want their life to work out. I want their life to be perfect. I want their life to have everything that they need. I want their life to be full. I want their life to be full of everything that they can contain. Every one of us has someone like that, that we look to and we go, I just want them to have the best life ever. I want them to have the fullest life ever. Well, we are that someone to God. God looks at us and He loves us so much that He's like, I just want that person to have the fullest life possible. I want that person's life to be so full, so purpose-driven, so full of grace, so full of love, so full of hope, so full of joy, so full of meaning. He wants our lives to be like that. That's what He wants for us. Just like I want that for my wife. Just like you parents here want that for your children. And we're not perfect. Not one of us have been perfect. Every single one of us has made a mistake or we fall short of the glorious standard that God has set for us. But yet we still want that for our loved ones. How much more the perfect God, the creator of everything, how much more would He want a full life for you? How much more will He want that for you? It's His love that gives us life. It's His love that completes us. And this is all part of God's plan. For us to be made complete by His love, causing us to be full of the life that comes only from Him. A life that is full of all that God has for you. A life that fits perfectly into God's plan. A life full of unity with God and with others who believe. Can I have the band come up? He wants us to have a full life, to be filled with the fullness of life. But don't forget, experiencing the love of Christ will also make you complete with power that comes from God. Power to live the life that He has for you. Power to be a part of God's plan. Power to withstand what may come against you. Power to be all He created you to be. When we first started this journey together through Ephesians, I said that the first three chapters is God's plan. God's plan for humanity. But the first three chapters are also our position in God's plan. Paul highlights to us what our position is in all of this. What our part is. God's plan, our part. God's plan, our purpose. And the way that Paul finishes up chapter 3 is by making it very clear what our position is. Verse 20, now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Our position is to be so wrapped in God's love that we find ourselves with such a deep trust and faith in God that He is able to work so powerfully through us to accomplish everything He has planned for us. That is our position. That is our posture. That we need to be so wrapped up in God's love. We need to have encountered His love, experienced His love in such a deep way, like every believer should, that we find ourselves in a position that He is working in us and through us, His Spirit, giving us inner strength, filling us with a full life, giving us power so that we can accomplish more than we could ever imagine. So that we can be part of God's plan in such an incredible way that we would never have dreamt of the way that God can work through us. Every single one of us has a part to play in God's plan. Every single one of us needs to find ourselves in the posture, in the position, wrapped up in the love of God, filled with strength, empowered to live a full life so that God can accomplish what He has set out, so that God can move in us and move through us. It's not just me that God's wanting to move through, just because I've got a mic in my hand. It's not just me. It's every single one of us that God wants to use, that God wants to move through, that God wants to fill up, that God wants to empower, that God wants His strength to flow through. So that His plan, so that His plan can be fulfilled here on earth. What God has for us to accomplish is far beyond anything we could imagine, anything we could ask for, anything we could dream up or think of. And His power is at work within us to accomplish all He has for us. He has made a way for you to be made complete, full of the power that you need to be all He created you to be, a life that brings God all the glory, a life that fits perfectly into His plan. That's what God has for us. That's what God wants for us. Every single one of us, every single person that believes in the good news that God saves you. If you believe that, He has a plan for your life and He wants to fill you with an inner strength that will never pull you away from unity with God and unity with one another, so that you can accomplish everything He has for us. This is my summary of chapter 3. This is God's plan, that all people who believe that God saves will be part of one people group, united with God and with each other, becoming the church. God formed the church by bringing all people from all walks of life together to show the unseen rulers and authority His great wisdom. But we will need to be filled with an inner strength through the Spirit of God, a strength rooted in God's love, so that we can receive the power that comes from God to live out the life that He has planned for us, a life where we accomplish more than what we could ever imagine, a life that brings God glory. That's what He has for us. That's what Paul is trying to tell us in chapter 3 of Ephesians, that He has something. God has something for every single one of us. And let me encourage you, it is rooted in experiencing God's love. And that's what we're going to do.